This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Attorney General talks about the now former special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller. And we get the story from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
He could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity, but he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained. And I'm not going to, you know, argue about those reasons.
Attorney General William Barr sitting down with CBS News and says the former special counsel Robert Mueller could have and should have reached a decision on obstruction in the two-year Russia investigation.
But when he didn't make a decision, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and I felt it was necessary for us, as the heads of the department, to reach that decision.
Louisiana's Democratic governor has signed a strict abortion ban into law prohibiting abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected. Police reportedly at the scene of a shooting at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. No further details available. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry.
Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug. Is that your pet, Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I won't.
So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
Taking a look now at your money. On Wall Street, the Dow gaining 43 points to close at 25,169. The NASDAQ up 20 points. The S&P 500 up almost 6 points. Staying now with news about the U.S. economy. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with the latest snapshot of economic growth put out by the government. Here's his report from Washington, D.C.
In the latest estimate, the U.S. economy grew at a solid 3.1% rate in the first 3 months of this year, but much of that gain was based on temporary factors that they say will likely fade, leaving growth much slower in the current quarter. It was up from a 2.2% increase in the fourth quarter of last year. The new GDP estimate was down slightly, though, from an initial 3.2% estimate. For the current April to June quarter, economists expect GDP growth will slow to less than 2%. And for the year, they see it rising a modest 2.3. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A judge expected to rule today on the license renewal of the only Planned Parenthood clinic in Missouri that performs abortions. Arguments concluded at a hearing yesterday, and Missouri Governor Michael Parson says the state found numerous violations of state laws and regulations during an annual inspection of that St. Louis facility in March. The clinic's license to perform abortions expires at the end of today, and if it's not renewed, Missouri will become the first state without a single abortion clinic. The FDA will hear the case for cannabis and products like cannabidiol or CBD today. That's hard to say. The use of CBD is growing like gangbusters, with countless products from oils to edibles entering the market. Today's hearings to provide input from doctors as well as producers and consumers.
It's a great big mystery, and it sure is worrying me.
Leon Redbone, who specialized in old-school vaudeville and Tin Pan Alley-style music, dead according to most reports at the age of 69, though his family has playfully claimed that he died at 127, as his age has been debated for years.
Will somebody tell me what did it, why did it mean?
And for USA Radio News, remember to find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Let me tell you this. Next subject is a question that has been nagging America, dare I say, for years. And we keep wondering, okay, what is the answer here? You know, even people of faith have asked of their pastors across the country, how do we deal with the transgender question? Well, Affirming God's Image is the latest book from Professor J. Allen Branch, and he addresses the transgender question with science and scripture. Dr. Branch, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Dr. Branch, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is a professor of Christian ethics at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Branch, I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this opportunity to talk to you because I think this is one of those questions that have been out there that have been poorly addressed. I think in many cases, maybe it's even been ignored because we've got pastors across the country. They're afraid to address this problem, afraid that it's going to upend the apple cart. Maybe they're going to lose some tithing money. I don't know. But meanwhile, what's at risk here are the souls of our fellow men.
Well, indeed, this really is the end of the sexual revolution, the final stages of the sexual revolution from 50 to 60 years ago. So you're seeing how that has worked itself out. And the expansive ideas of gender and sexuality are now mainstreamed. And in an odd twist of moral argumentation, Christians are now painted as the bad guys, as opposed to being the good guys upholding truth and honesty and righteousness, purity. So for some pastors, it is a bit frightening and a bit intimidating because no one wants to be called a hate monger or be accused of some sort of phobia. Mm-hmm. Or accused of contributing to someone's suicidal ideation or something like that.
Right, exactly. But like I said, meanwhile, even those that are, involved in the process of right. going through transgender, it is not sitting well. I mean, at the end of the day, the empirical evidence leaves many questions and less answers.
Right. So the most expansive study about the long-term outcome of gender reassignment surgery came out of Sweden in 2011. So let me stress, you'll never find a more friendly environment for gender transition than Sweden. This is a country that is, by their own admission, very far to the left ideologically. So what happened was they followed 324 sex-reassigned people over 30 years. And what their findings showed was that numerous problems persisted after reassignment. Now, most of these patients claimed that their gender dysphoria was relieved, but other problems remained, including a higher mortality rate, which was basically tied to higher suicide rates and right. many psychiatric problems that just were not solved by the gender reassignment surgery.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because it was brought up in a previous conversation that I had, Dr. Branch, and that is, the issue of suicide. You know, we're coming down to it, it's It's almost the same argument, similar in a sense, as the whole abortion issue, is that we have enough empirical evidence that people are making a decision themselves. They're saying, this doesn't work for me. This is not working. This is causing more problems, actually, than what we thought it was going to solve. You know, we were told that this was going to be the answer. And in the case of abortion, 61 million babies later, women, for the sake of their own, their own reproductive rights, are realizing, oh, my God, what have I done?
Right. I think you've made a good point. And let me expand on that, if I can, for just a second. We as Christians believe in beneficence. We believe in doing good for our neighbor. So we get this from the story of the Good Samaritan. That's obvious. He goes out of his way to help someone. And that's the model for us that Jesus gives. We are to do good. But for Christians, we are to do good as defined by God.
Yes.
Now, folks on the other side are defining good by an expansive view of gender, expansive views of sexual morality. And this is what I find very perplexing as a Christian. It is very common that I am blamed for suicidal morbidity or suicidal ideation in someone, that people feel suicidal ideation because people like me say, no, you should really embrace the sex of your birth. You should really live your life within sexual constraints. And then what we are told is when we proclaim that message, we are causing people to have some sort of internalized hatred of themselves, and this bleeds over into ideas of worthlessness, and they internalize this worthlessness, and then they feel the need to tragically commit suicide. But I find that perplexing because these are the same people that say things like this: you are the result of random time and chance, a mindless process with a little bit of natural selection and genetic drift thrown in, and that's where you came from. Oh, and by the way, your value in life is based on your ability to please others sexually, and we live in a culture that prizes external beauty, and you tell people these sort of messages, and then we wonder why we live in a culture where suicide is a problem.
Right.
I resist the idea that the Christian worldview that says you're made by a God who loves you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you are fallen, you have a sin nature that leads you to want to do things God says don't do, but there's good news. God can forgive you, change you, and give you hope. I refuse the idea that that message causes suicidal ideation.
You know, without a doubt, because the fact of the matter is you know, we're not sitting next to somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning, Dr. Branch, when they wake up and they are really, you know, maybe it's a God moment for them. Maybe it's just dealing with their own conscience that they are stirred and the pressure of it all in realizing that, in a sense, a little bit like an alcoholic. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day. I said, to me, this is a bit of a predilection, and this is just in my very crude, sophomoric understanding of the process, is that it's what you feed. If you're feeding that predilection like alcohol and you keep drinking, then you go further and further down the road. And as you go further and further down the road, you're disconnecting. You're willfully rejecting the truth and any kind of alternative view that doesn't support that road that you're traveling on. And I believe it's a little bit of the same thing here for people that go and are dealing with some sort of gender dysphoria, is that there may be an inclination, but it's what you choose to feed and justify. And what I've always found to be the case is that birds of a feather flock together. The ones that are in dealing with some gender conflict, they're not hanging around Christians. They're hanging around people that are more like them, dealing with the same thing, that are encouraging the same bad road that they're on. Now, is that a fair consideration?
Well, certainly. What you feed will grow. This is a longstanding truth in Christian life. We know that what we do with temptation, it's what we feed is going to grow. So we need to be very careful about our thought life. Now, what the data shows us to date is there are some variables which, for reasons not completely clear, correlate with a higher instance of transgenderism or gender nonconformity or even gender dysphoria in certain samples. But what no one has proved is causation. No one knows why some children exhibit signs of gender nonconformity. We don't know why, from the scientific side. Now, from the Christian side, we understand we're living in a fallen world and things are messed up because of sin. We understand that. But what we need to remember as Christians is none of us as Christians deny a genetic or biological component to any sin or temptation we're struggling with. You mentioned alcoholism and substance abuse. Well, there's certainly biological genetic factors that contribute to increased rates of alcoholism or substance abuse within certain populations. But that doesn't mean someone is born an alcoholic. It does mean that there's a contributing factor.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Professor of Christian Ethics at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Alan Branch, continues. Dr. Branch, you know, as you were saying before, there is really not a clear causation. We do not quite understand. Although, as people of faith, we do hold to the belief that it is God who is our creator. There is no surprise here.
He has designed us with a specific purpose in mind. And we are made in the image of God, which when you consider every person you come in contact, as one has said, you know, I've never met a mere mortal. I mean, we are incredibly and wonderfully made, are we not?
We are, and I'm so glad you mentioned the image of God, because when you read the Genesis narrative, the image of God is closely connected with our sex, with our gender. Now, a key premise within the transgender movement is to differentiate between sex and gender. Sex is a matter of biology. Gender is a matter of self-identification. The Bible really doesn't make that distinction. But what we are told in Genesis 1:27 is, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So part of being in the image of God is embracing the sex that God has given us, either male or female, and then expressing that sex in gender-appropriate ways. That doesn't mean that every guy has to love race cars or to love shooting firearms at a gun range and skeet shooting. It doesn't mean that every girl has to embrace ballet. So there are certain stereotypes that are certainly true that we don't have to necessarily embrace to exhibit a biblical form of Christian manhood and womanhood. But what it does mean is that we understand there are gender-appropriate roles for males and females, and we embrace the role that goes with our sex because it's good. Or, again, for us as Christians, it's good as defined by God.
Right.
And in the long run, it leads to both the best outcome in this life and in eternity to come.
Exactly. I want to hone in a bit here on the scientific research around the transgender experience. Unfold that for us, if you would.
Well, what's been very, very interesting in the last 30 years is both on genetic and biological side to try to find what is the cause. And so people have dug around in the DNA, and they've dug around inside the human brain. And so far, no one has found a particular DNA sequence that causes transgenderism. No one has found a particular brain structure that causes transgenderism. The most common theory that's out there is what I call the prenatal hormone theory. And this theory says that early, and this is just a fact, early on in prenatal development, the genitals differentiate first. Boys, become their little genitals turn into a penis, and girls, their genitals turn into a vagina. Very early in development, they start growing in that direction. The brain sexually differentiates later within prenatal development. So the theory is that the genitals sexually differentiate in a way consistent with someone's DNA early on, and then later on in pregnancy or during a child's development, the brain differentiates like the opposite sex. And so this is why they're going to claim that someone has the body of a male but then the brain of a female, or the body of a female and the brain of the male. It's a theory that has a really powerful explanatory appeal to a lot of people. The challenge is finding evidence to support it.
Right.
There's lots of theories out there, but the evidence to support it has really been palpably weak.
Mm-hmm. You know, the issue of transgenderism, I mean, this seems to be a modern term, a modern conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, transgenderism has been around.
Right. It's very interesting. Early on in the Roman Empire, there was a cult, Cybele, came to Rome around 200 B.C., and the priest of Cybele dedicated themselves to her worship by emasculating themselves and then dressing as women. So whether these were people actually experiencing gender dysphoria as we define it today, or they're part of pagan devotion, the point is the final result looks just like transgenderism today. These are people that mutilated their bodies and then dressed like the opposite sex.
Mm.
So, for example, the people who received Paul's letter to the Romans, they would have been familiar with what we now call transgenderism, even though they didn't have that term. If we could travel back in time and describe to them our modern ideas that we're encountering, they say, well, we didn't have quite those terms and quite those ideas, but we know the concept you're talking about. We've seen something like that.
Mm-hmm. And we've, I mean, in the history of mankind, transgenderism has been part of just, you know, every culture, has it not?
Well, I don't know about every culture. That's an interesting question. But what we do know is, let me say this, the term transgender is really a recent term only invented within the last 100 years or so. Mm-hmm. So we are dealing with a new term. But what we do know is, for example, in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy makes specific claims that one should not dress like the opposite sex.
Right.
So we know at least 1,400 years before the time of Christ, they're observing something like that. God wouldn't have said that unless it was a problem. So
exactly.
Obviously, it's something that's popped up from different places and different times. The degree to which it's been in every culture, I don't know if we can prove that. But has mm-hmm. it been something that occurs commonly in humanity or things like that? Yes, it's happened throughout history.
Yeah, I think going back to what we said earlier, and that is in a fallen world and fallen men, you know, without God and left up to our own devices and seeing things as the book of Judges says, according to our own eyes, we're going to experience all manner of dysphoria or dysfunction, are we not?
Wow, I really appreciate you mentioning the passage from Judges. The last five chapters in Judges are bracketed by this phrase, in those days Israel had no king, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's a statement of radical moral autonomy. And really, at an ethical and philosophical level, that's what's behind the LGBTQ movement, is radical moral autonomy, which, by the way, is the heart of the fall in Genesis 3. I want to be God, I don't want God to be God, and I want to define life by my own standards of right and wrong, good and evil, and move forward on that. Of course, the challenge with that is that ultimately we have to answer to God, and the God to whom we answer has a different standard of holiness than we typically have in our fallen nature. It's going to be quite problematic.
You brought up terminology, and you know, like transgenderism in the last 100 years.
Right.
What important terminology should we be aware of regarding, you know, gender issues?
Right. So the key principle behind transgenderism is that sex and gender are two different identities, that they separate those. I know the average person on the street uses them as synonyms. I do, in fact.
Right.
And I think the Bible does. But from their perspective, sex is merely a matter of biology. It's just a matter of the plumbing, if you will. I'm mm-hmm. not trying to be crude, but that's
right
how they would view it.
Right.
Gender, however, is something very different. It is a psychological construct. It's a subjective sense of how someone feels. Thus, that's why if you separate and tease those two ideas out, that's why you can have someone who says that I have the body of a male, but I'm actually female in my gender identity. Then, two other terms. Transgender is a broad term. Keep that in mind. Now, one of the things I would suggest to your listeners is if someone identifies as transgender, I would ask them, tell me what you mean by that. Can you define it for me?
Right.
Because it's defined in many ways. It's an umbrella term for a whole broad spectrum of really gender fluid ideas. Another term that you often hear is gender dysphoria. This is the technical diagnosis, and you have to be careful here. If you're following the DSM-5, mm-hmm. not everyone who is transgender technically has gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria means someone has a dissonance between their sex and their gender, and they are deeply bothered by it. And there's some, maybe from their perspective, there may be some people who aren't bothered by it at all, and technically they would not have gender dysphoria.
Right.
But frequently on the street, the terms transgender and gender dysphoria get used interchangeably, but technically they mean two different things.
For people that undergo gender reassignment surgery, what happens afterwards, doctor?
Oh, my word. It's so troublesome. I'm going to be honest with you. If there was any other elective surgery in the United States of America that had as many post-operative difficulties as gender reassignment surgery, there would be riots in the street today to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
The number of problems, they just go on and on and on. I hate to use this example because we're talking about a real person, but the young boy, Jazz Jennings,
right.
that he had this surgery. And he had to go back in the hospital, I believe it was for 10, 11 days. That story is far too common. His mm-hmm. sutures ruptured. Well, why is that? Well, when they try to create an artificial vagina in a male, the body's going to treat it like a wound because it is.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift.
Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stair lift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
The Attorney General talks about the now former special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller. And we get the story from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
He could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity, but he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained. And I'm not going to, you know, argue about those reasons.
Attorney General William Barr sitting down with CBS News and says the former special counsel, Robert Mueller, could have and should have reached a decision on obstruction in the two-year Russia investigation.
But when he didn't make a decision, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and I felt it was necessary for us, as the heads of the department, to reach that decision.
Louisiana's Democratic governor has signed a strict abortion ban into law prohibiting abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected. Police reportedly at the scene of a shooting at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. No further details available. And this is USA Radio News.
Aspen Dental is giving away free dental care to thousands of veterans. And with more on that is Dr. Anita Imawandi, a director of clinical support and charitable giving. Thanks for coming on, doctor. This is such a great program. Why do veterans, more than any other segment of the population, have the need for low-cost or free dental care?
Thank you for asking, and thanks for having me. You know, for our veterans, our nation veterans, what we know is that for many of them, they're not eligible for dental benefits through the Veterans Administration unless they're 100% disabled, have sustained a service-related injury to their mouth, or they were a prisoner of war. And so for our doctors at Aspen Dental, they wanted to do something about that, and that was in launching the Healthy Mouth Movement to help provide that necessary care for the veterans through programs like Day of Service. For more information, they can call 1-844-277-3646, or they can log on to healthymouthmovement.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's the way you like is fresh and very independent. I'm Bill Martinez, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Well, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has failed to sit a new majority, so Israel is going to be facing a new election. What will a new election mean for the U.S.-Israeli relationship and the unveiling of a new Middle East plan? From Jerusalem right now, co-founder of the Media Line, Michael Friedson joins us. Michael, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's great hearing your voice.
Always good to hear from you. Appreciate you coming back on and giving us a ground floor report right there from Israel. So what's going on? Benjamin Netanyahu unable to form a majority. He came up one vote short, huh?
Well, we talked about in the past the system over here, which isn't necessarily the greatest system, but you have one legislative body that has 120 seats in it. In order to form a government, more than 61 seats, and that's more than anybody realistically is going to pull in an election in this time of history. Now, It's not a person who pulls it in. The voting goes to parties. Think about it for a minute. You know, we have such a fun time with two parties. In the last Israeli election on April 9th, there were 30 parties running. So, gives you a bit of a pause. Anyhow, you gotta, if you are the party that amasses the most number of seats in the general election, you still have that hurdle of forming a government. You gotta do that by forming coalitions. Now typically, it goes down to the wire. This is serious horse trading, Israel style. Right. It's the currency that's used are committee chairmanships in the parliament and the vice premiers and deputy ministers and ministers. Mm-hmm. These are all positions, but they're also currency. And they play hardball, and they really squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. A lot of people call it a government by extortion. But the difference between now
kind of
and
like the United States, it's not much different, is it, really?
No, we just do it a little differently, and we're not as open about it. We try to do it subtly, but I guess here in the Middle East, it's, you know, all bets are off. This is what we're all about. But at the 11th hour, you're supposed to blank. You're supposed to come up with your deal. By the 11th hour, your best offer is on the table, and you got to get on with life. But this guy named Avigdor Lieberman, who ironically began his career, he was an immigrant from Moldova, the former Soviet Union, and he began his career in Israel as a senior aide to the younger version of Bibi Netanyahu. And the two have had a hot and cold relationship all these years since. But this time the Lieberman, former defense minister, who was his former defense minister because he pulled out of Bibi's previous government. So here they are, after he pulled out of that government, negotiating for the next government all over again. But they couldn't come to terms, whether or not the terms described for falling apart are really accurate or it's a lot of political stuff thrown in there.
So the whole ultra-Orthodox conflict is not really the issue? Is that what you're
saying? I think it's a red herring, Bill. I really think it's a red herring. And why?
Well, explain to our audience what the issue is with the ultra-Orthodox so they understand.
Okay. The ultra-Orthodox, typified by the people you see wearing long black coats and black hats and typically with beards, they have a system of their life in Israel that's different than the rest. In specific, the people of Israel pride themselves in having an army that is mandatory to every woman and man from the age of 18, 2 years for a woman, 3 years for a man, and then there's reserve duty until about 50 years old, almost 50 years old.
Right.
The ultra-Orthodox are excluded from that. They simply have said from time immemorial that we're not going to do that. We're going to help the people of Israel. Instead of fighting with guns, we're going to fight with books, and we're going to be studying, and you're going to give us an exemption, and you're going to give us all the money we need for our programs, but we're not going to do what everybody else does. Now, you can imagine a parent in a normal Israeli home, a non-religious home, saying, why is my kid going out in harm's way? And don't forget, it's not, it's not removed from reality. There are casualties all the time, and there's fighting that goes on. And his parents say, why should my kid go in harm's way when these so-called religious people, if they're so religious, why don't they contribute to the country?
Right.
This is kind of torn the country apart, but like other things in the Middle East, you get used to it, and it becomes settled in as a conventional wisdom, and unless something really compelling happens, it's not going to change. And this is one of those things. It doesn't have to change. It's because some people at this point in time wanted it to change, and it's very convenient for this particular politician.
And there's no budge, Michael, from the Orthodox Jews to say, hey, look, we want to, support the defense of the country. Maybe they don't carry a gun, but maybe there's some other service to the country that they provide.
Well, Bill, you're right on the mark, because there's a very elaborate system of community service.
Exactly.
Religious girls, for instance, don't put on the uniform typically. Some do, but many don't. Instead, they do service. It could be working in a hospital, working in a school, anything that contributes to the public welfare, you can get certified as your community service. There are units of these very ultra-Orthodox people who have decided that, yes, it is time to show the people of Israel that we bear the burden too. And the army has put together exclusive units where they can all stay together. And in fact, they share the time between the army and the army leaves them time for their religious studies. So a lot of efforts have been made on that.
When you look at the Old Testament, you read how the Jews came together, whether it's the rebuilding of the wall in, Nehemiah, I mean, time and again, I mean, there's been times when they've had to defend and protect their interests. I mean, this is just a natural byproduct of having a country and you know, and having a specific goal for the citizens of the country. So I think it's reasonable to have that discussion. But as you say, you have Israel is uniquely Jewish and with the entire spectrum of personalities and opinions.
Absolutely. And it's a system that's, goes back really, well, Menachem Begin, it was not really that far back, had a lot to do with cutting deals with a guy named Menachem Porush, who was the sort of the head rabbi of all the political oriented rabbis at the time. Mm-hmm. And they came up with certain formulas that are still regarded today. But again, it depends on who's sitting in what seat and how much power any particular group has and who wants to go to the mats. Mm-hmm. The feeling is it's very hard to justify bringing the government down completely over an issue that has existed, will exist, it will continue to exist, but improvement is being made. It's not a black and white thing.
Right.
So,
well, I suspect the Lieberman issue is more about ego than anything else. Is that what you're sensing?
Well, I'm sensing it's more than ego. I think, part of the problem with the system of government that the Israelis have chosen is that when you are short of seats to back up your words, you're not taking it seriously. And here's Lieberman, who for a while, some years back, looked like he was going to be a superstar in politics and he was going to amass a tremendous following. The last election kind of punctured his balloon. He went down from about 15 seats. He now is causing all of this havoc with only 5 seats.
Wow.
Because Netanyahu...
Kind of sounds like the United States Congress, right?
Yeah,
what's happening in the Democratic Party. Well, real quick, Michael, because we've only got about a minute left here. What's the latest with Bibi's investigation? I understand his wife has come to some sort of settlement.
Yes, Sarah has plea bargained. She was accused of misusing $350,000, and she paid back $15,000, and they're calling it quits over that. But the prime minister himself is going to be indicted at some point in the near future, and the question is, can he continue, if he wins the election, can he continue in office, or does the whole election appear a victory?
Mm-hmm. What about the threats there that continue in Israel? What's the latest? We got 30 seconds left.
Which threats?
I'm talking about the missiles coming in.
We need a few more minutes than that. There's 150,000 missiles aimed at Israel, and all of the action going on now, the activity surrounding the Iranians,
right,
and what they're really doing, a lot of it is going well for Israel in terms of the world waking up to it, and
exactly.
There's a lot to talk about. So I hope
we'll have to have you back. Michael Friedson, thank you, Michael.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Hey, this is the music of our next two guests who are coming up, Phil Kagi and Rex Paul Schnelli. Listen to this.
TV just the other day. But the look in her eyes says she's dreaming of a better place. Then I heard a voice in my soul, just reach out, don't let go. Love is gonna find a way. You told us what really matters and what's in your heart. To love the least of these, to judgment day. Let me hear.
It's the initial cut off their brand new album, Illumination. It comes to you from Phil Kagi and Rex Paul, a legendary gospel music hall of famer and guitar virtuoso, joined forces with the multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, and producer for this incredibly transcendent rock album, Illumination, which is out today from Strobe Records. Phil and Rex, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Phil.
Last time, Phil, you and I talked, you were jamming with Paul McCartney. The last time we talked in Nashville, Tennessee, you shared with me the story about giving Paul McCartney a guitar and you were jamming with him. I mean, kind of incredible.
Kind of a name dropper.
Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to bring it into context because Rex may not have known that you and I have talked before, and so and especially one of the songs in Illumination. I mean, it's like you channeled Paul McCartney with one of them. It really, when I heard the lick before I even heard that, I go, wow, I wonder what happened if you brought that from the bedroom of where they were jamming together.
That's funny. When I said name dropper, I was referring to myself because I'm the one that brought it up. So, who can deny it that, Paul's a great talent, all through the years. When we're young and impressionable, I really took to the sound of his voice, and I think that's what happened. And it's not like I really sound like him, but I guess there are moments where there's a slight resemblance, but not
a real radical one, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rex, give us your side of the story, how you and Phil thought about Illumination and putting this together. I mean, your talents, both of you, boy, they stand alone. And to be able to, you know, bring your gifts together to bring to us Illumination is really a blessing.
Oh, well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it grew out of our friendship, actually. And we had worked together, and we really were excited about the music we had made. And so we got together, and it really kicked off. Phil brought out a recording of a 1971 chorus, about 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of ruminating on what we wanted to do. And when he played that, it was like, oh, that's it. That's it.
Wow. Wow.
And so it just burned from there. And the energy was just like, the floodgates opened. So.
Phil, isn't that amazing? I mean, it's so typical of artists is that you have parts and pieces, things, you know, a lick, a sound that's just been there, and it just kind of, it sits in the background, and as Rex says, it comes out, and you ruminate on it when God wants it out, right?
Yeah, we're hoping that God's involved in it because, you know, we really do want to please Him with our lives and our music and be a blessing to other people, bring some hope and joy and some good news to them. And that particular song, which is called I Believe, mm-hmm. I don't even know if that was the original title. I had the chorus on tape and then a bit of the chords that go into what would be the verses. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't remember what the verses I had written back then. So Rex and I, we wrote verses together, and then we collaborated on, I think, four other pieces, right, Rex?
Yeah, we created from that ground up and pulled out the Bibles and Oswald Chambers and just sat in your studio and bounced stuff back and forth. Yeah, it was awesome.
And the thing is, this album is so unique to me because, and to my catalog, because, you know, there are a lot of people who said, I just wish Phil would rock a bit more. I wish he'd get a band behind him that really is not only a rock thing or progressive, but has sort of a sense of relatedness, you know, relatedness to other people. Like people who enjoy pop music, that's something that you can really tap your foot to, sing along with, you know, not just all about guitar jamming and stuff like that, you know, and I've done a lot of jam type recordings. And then I've done the extreme opposite, which is, you know, more pretty acoustic stuff.
Rex, what do you think the listeners are going to be surprised by? I mean, you know, as Phil is saying, you know, you've rocked it up a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, I mean, here, you know, both of you, you know, the musician quality and Phil's guitar ability, legendary, and, you know, like as if you're not a slouch. I mean, my goodness, you've been involved in over 3,000 recordings. I mean, you've had a stellar background as well. So, you know, having the brilliance and the talents of both of you together and also to have that chemistry. I mean, because sometimes you can have people that are brilliant, but they just don't blend. But you can feel in Illumination this chemistry that is with you two.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's something we didn't really concentrate on and we didn't really think about. But when it happened, it was almost like, man, that solo was a conversation. We didn't plan it. You know, we would just play and it came out that way. And what I wanted listeners to really come away with, I think for me, those big records where you would listen to them and you would go, what is that? Right. I think about Boston and Yes, 90125 and, you know, even Beatles records, just those records where you listen, you just go, oh my, everything came together. Right. That's what I wanted to happen. But I also wanted, you know, obviously God's spirit and his truth to actually show up and have an abiding presence to where there would be that supernatural element to where you remember where you were when you heard that song and what God impressed on your heart when you heard that song. That's what I was really wanting to happen. So,
Phil, you say it's a triple shot of espresso. Is that because of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity here? Is that what that's about?
Oh, no, I didn't actually think of that, the Trinity.
But you could go with that.
You could? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Rex got it.
Yeah, no, you did it.
It's just more power punch, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking in terms of just musicality. You know, Rex is
a great drummer. He's a great bass player, and, you know, he is the rhythm section to our guitars. And he also plays keys, and he also sings fantastic, and he harmonizes amazingly. And then he mixes, and here's something that the folks might find interesting. All his vocals and all his guitar work was done in his studio, and all of my vocals and all of my guitar work was done in my studio.
Wow.
And so we both have these respective small studios, just work rooms, basically. And, so there wasn't the pressure of being in an outside studio and the red light goes on and you've got this just this amount of time to accomplish something. We were able to do it under the influence of inspiration. And we took our time. We laughed. We smiled. We shared stories. We collaborated on lyrics. And we were sensitive to each other's guitar abilities as well. But the thing is also, I stood at my microphone and Rex produced my vocals. And he really brought the best out of me, you know. And I think one of the things that may surprise some listeners is that, you know, I'm two more years, I'll be 70 years old. And it sounds like a couple young guys playing and having a great time, you know. It doesn't sound like we're the ages we are, although Rex is considerably young to me. What are you, 52, Rex?
I'm 54. And,
Still young.
And, you know, there's another element that, you know, Phil and I do a lot of work in our studios respectively, so there was a comfort level, I think, that we... You know, we weren't fighting technology. We both kind of were comfortable in our places.
Right.
And I think we both knew what each other was capable of. And we both kind of felt comfortable that we were going to be able to get that. And, you know, when it started to kind of flow that way, we were excited. And that's why we're still excited about, you know, the project and how it sounds.
Well, this really sounds that much more unique, you know, when I consider, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this chemistry that is there, and here you're telling me that you recorded each of your elements in your own home studios. That's amazing how that transcended. But of course, you know, Rex, you're there, you know, you're in control of the levers and you're listening what Phil's doing right at the moment. So, boy, this was quite the collaboration, right, Phil?
Oh, yeah, it really was. And you know, we don't know if this is the album for the times that we live in, because music has changed so much. Christian music, I think, has changed quite a bit. And in a way, this album would have been probably quite celebrated in the 80s or the early 90s, you know.
But yeah.
We didn't do it to fit in, you know, any place. You know, we actually didn't make this album deliberately so that somebody would find it appealing. Like my last album was called All at Once. I had a couple producers involved on that album, and they just were certain that everyone was going to just love it. But it kind of like completely fell by the wayside, you know.
Right.
And it just wasn't embraced. It didn't fit anybody's wheelhouse, as they say.
Right.
So this
exactly.
album, we didn't set out to fit anyone's wheelhouse. We just did it for us, you know, to have a good time.
Well, thanks for the gift. I want you to know that now, as we're heading to the exit, we are listening to Cut 11, Day of the Lord. Rex Paul, Phil Kagi, a blessing always. Thank you so much. The CD is
Thank
out
you,
today officially. Thank you.
Quit drinking or doing too many drugs. Listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.